America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
How was your Christmas, everyone? I hope you could spend yours with friends and or family. You got everything you wanted and did not go too deep into debt. I was blessed with hosting the Christmas dinner for my family while, you know it, suffering from the flu. But oh, what a wonderful day. I'm Lair Adams, and this is the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. Well, it was a sea of blue today in New York City, as police from around the country attended the service of their murdered brother. Protesters went right on marching against the police. They want another dead cop. They want blood. Hey, it's time now to introduce our host and find out if he's been naughty or nice. He prefers naughty. Christopher Hart!
Thank you so much, Lair Adams, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are live in the studio today. No reruns here. That's right, folks, we're live at 407-774-8255 if you would like to be a part of the show. We are coming to you on AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dear friend and my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Got a big show lined up for you tonight. This would be a good time to call in, though, because it's just going to be us guys in the studio. That's Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. We also have our executive producer alongside us today. That'd be, of course, Nostradamus.
I'm the healthy one in the crowd today. Not at the front end or the tail end of anything evil, as far as I can tell.
All right. We'll try to keep it that
way.
Did
you get a flu shot?
No.
We got Nick LoCicero on the bridge, and you in the audience, and we appreciate you so much. All right, like I said, 407-774-8255 is our number. AmericanAdversariesRadio.com is once again the location of our now brand new website where you can join the American Adversaries Army, and we certainly want you to do that. It's going to be a lot of fun for all of us recruits. And let's see, we got a number of topics we're going to go over here today. I just want to start off with, Lair was talking about yesterday was Christmas, and once again, we had sort of a warm Christmas here in Central Florida, but it was warm across the nation. You know, it did snow, though, in several locations, including Hawaii.
Really?
Yes, on the top of the mountain there.
Yeah, I was going to say, the whole island gets a cold chill at any time Michelle and Barack come to town. But evidently there was they thought there was going to be a blizzard on the mountains on Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa. It did snow, but not a whole lot.
Chris, where is Michelle initially from? Is she a Chicago person?
Yeah, she's from Chicago.
Okay, I got to imagine that's got to be a huge culture shock, Chicago to Hawaii.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure she'll suffer through it well.
Yes, it's just like she suffers through living in the White House. And then I was a bit amused by this. And I've never met the man, but of course I'm a big wrestling fan, as most of you folks know out there. But Kevin Nash, who is known as Diesel, he was arrested a couple of days ago, and it was a family.
Big, huge guy. What's he?
Well,
he's as tall as Hulk Hogan.
You just kind of stepped on my line there. But
figure which one he was.
Yeah, he and his son got into it. Evidently, his son came home drunk, and he was going to discipline his 18-year-old son, who shouldn't have been drinking in the first place because he's not 21.
Uh-uh.
But they both ended up in the slammer.
Oh my!
And Kevin Nash did tweet a couple of things. He tweeted, "The pain of the last 24 hours will never be erased." And that's understandable. But then he also tweeted he praised Volusia County Corrections officers for, quote unquote, being so professional in your treatment. And as Lara said, when the guy's 6 feet 11, 280 pounds, you think the jailers might treat him with a little bit of respect, right? But hopefully he'll get all that worked out with his son.
He said the funniest thing I've ever heard a wrestler say one night when he was the bad guy, but he happened to be talking about matches or something. I don't know how, and they had that one British wrestler that always actually snooty Lord, whatever his name was.
Yes, yeah.
And he said, you know, every time you see this guy, it looks like he smelled something really bad. And, and the guy did. He had this look on his face. Oh, my God, everything smells bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it was perfect.
All right. Okay, before we get really rolling into stuff, we got Tim on the line. And Tim is our, I believe it's the Tim I'm thinking about, is our very first recruit into the American Adversaries Army. And we really do appreciate him for that. And he will be having dinner for two with us, the American Adversaries, at Cafe Positano. Tim, thank you for calling. Did I get it right?
You got it right. I'm Agent 001.
I appreciate that, and thank you so much.
Jethro would call that the double knot one.
Yeah, thank you so much for trying so hard and being that first person to enlist.
And well, I started at 2 minutes after midnight on Saturday.
Oh, bless your heart. And then we thought we had it going, and then when we put it up Sunday, we did a little test and discovered that the PayPal wasn't accepting the information for some reason. But
right.
I want to thank you for your persistence and your loyalty to the show and being the first recruit. And we're certainly going to have a whole lot of fun together.
We sure will. So anyway, so I wanted to thank you for your Christmas Eve show because that was terrific. And I know that it wasn't the right night to call, but I just thought it should be mentioned that what a great show you guys did.
Appreciate that.
Well, thank you so very much for that, and thank you for being Santa Claus the Sunday before.
Oh, man, tins of popcorn and candy
cookies. I tell you what, we feasted on that stuff. That was very generous of you, but thank you for your comments.
You know what was funny? That I had my wife drive me over there to drop that off. And then for her to listen to it on the radio, because she doesn't listen much because she's either gone to work or on her way to work or by that time, by 5 o'clock, she's in work.
Right.
So she didn't listen much, and she just got the biggest kick on that. And we went down to Cafe Positano's where we had a terrific dinner.
Oh, that's great.
And, it was so funny the way you guys were acting with it. With the stuff coming up.
like kids at Christmas time.
Yeah.
How's your leg?
The swelling's down like 90%. I got my new glasses. I could see at night now, so.
All right. Yeah.
You got new glasses for your leg?
No, I got new. I had to get both glasses and a leg.
That's the trouble with getting old. But then I'll take that over the alternative any day.
Yeah. Right. So I should be out and about before too long here.
You're telling everybody Tim's old? Come on, Chris.
All right. Tim, yeah. Thank you so very much, and we will be seeing and talking to you very soon.
You bet. And I encourage everybody, sign up. Let's get something going.
Amen to that. Thank you very much, brother. We appreciate you very, very much. And so, Tim, yeah, he's our very first recruit.
Now, do you know, Chris, I know you got your fingers all over the numbers here. Do we have a platoon yet?
We do not have a platoon yet.
Okay, so we're working on the first platoon. You can still be a part of that first platoon.
That's right. And we expect the numbers to start increasing after the first of the year. But we do have a healthy number of people who have already – I guess I should ask you how many people are in a platoon. But we do have a healthy number.
Between 20 and 40, depending on how they're deployed.
All right. Well, we're not quite there yet, almost. All right. But we're anticipating that the Army will grow and grow and grow. And we certainly hope you folks will join it. All right. Let's get into some of the meat of the business today. I want to talk first about the Sony hack attack. Now, the movie did end up opening. One of the places it opened was the Texas Theater. Do you guys happen to remember what the Texas Theater's other claim to fame is?
It's in San Antonio, right? Probably has something to do with the Alamo?
No, I believe it's
Chainsaw Massacre.
I believe it's in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Does that give you a hint? The Texas Theater.
Not the same theater.
That.
The JFK Theater.
Mm. Well, that's where Lee Harvey Oswald was
hit.
Exactly.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, they were one of the theaters who screened the movie, and evidently it was very successful there, sellout.
So a movie about a imaginary assassination of a world leader takes place at a theater to which the assassin of a world leader ended up hiding 40 years ago.
Literally speaking, yes.
Wow, 50 years ago now.
Yep. The Texas Theater, I'm reading from today's Marketplace section of the Wall Street Journal. The Texas Theater, a one-screen movie house in Dallas, has already left its mark on U.S. history. It was inside the theater on November 22nd, 1963, that Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested following the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. On Thursday, the theater joined about 300 other small cinemas to make history of a different kind, and one also linked to an assassination, though the imaginary kind, showing the movie The Interview. And it did open at a number of screens. I think it made about $1 million over the weekend, which is basically, you know,
pennies.
Yeah, it's nowhere near what they thought, but it will build.
Right, yeah, nonetheless.
And it ended up in a theater. Do you remember where we did that one day only Breitbart movie? South Chase?
Yes.
That's
South Chase.
Theater in Orlando,
showed
that show.
Yeah, okay. Evidently to sold out crowds.
Yeah.
And
someone said the Enzian.
Yeah, a lot of people think that it's real funny. A lot of people think that it's trash. But a lot of people are going to see the movie because of the quote unquote free speech issue, which makes one wonder if, you know, Sony knew they had a real loser on their hands and didn't do all this on purpose.
Okay.
Which brings me to this. Evidently, there are people inside the FBI who are not convinced that it was North Korea who staged this hacking attack. As a matter of fact, they think that it may have been an inside job.
Ooh, if that got out, that Sony did this to themselves to try to garner sales.
I don't know that it's so much that as perhaps a disgruntled employee who wanted to show up the boss as being, you know, a hypocrite. As she is, at least in her relationship with the president, where she pals around with him and then makes fun of him behind his back. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we've got a lot more to talk about, so please do not go away. We are live.
The American Adversaries Drive Time, and if you're in Altamont Springs on 436, right in front of where that Kohl's and that Dunkin' Donuts are, it's not very much of a drive for Drive Time, so stay away if you can. There's an accident there, been there for about an hour. Try to find a way around it, if at all you can. But don't find your way around 660 AM The Answer, because you got it. You're right here. It's the American Adversaries Drive Time with me, Nostradamus, Christopher Hart, Blair Adams. And now back to the show.
And by the way, that Kohl's is just west of Montgomery Boulevard there.
434.
Oh, 434. I'm sorry. Forget
only
that.
Only about a mile away from the station.
Forget that. Yeah, it's north on 434 from 436. All right. Nostradamus, you were making a point there about this Sony thing.
Well, yeah, you know me. I'm the big conspiracy theorist. But when this first happened, the first thing I thought of was, hey, now everybody's going to want to see it. Now that we find out nobody can see this movie, everyone's going to want to go out and see it. And we were talking about how it might have been a disgruntled ex-employee of Sony. What if it's a current employee of Sony? What if it's a current employee of the federal government trying to make a stink, trying to make a point?
You read a little something into what I said. I did not say ex-employee. I said disgruntled employee.
Okay. Could have been an ex, could have been a current.
Current, yeah. And the reason I don't think that the Sony people at the top were behind this, I don't think that they would have let their emails out and be the focus of the hack attack.
That's right.
But it certainly could have been, and there are a number of people evidently inside the FBI who think that it's at least a plausible, if not more likely, that it was an inside attack. And you say, well, hey, can't they trace it to North Korea? Well, evidently it's not that easy.
Right.
Because the same routers and malware that was used in this attack have been used in other attacks by other people. besides North Koreans. So that is not, you know, conclusive.
And North Korea does not even own their own internet routers. Their access to the internet goes right through Red China.
Well, but nonetheless, they could do it. But just because of the type of malware that they have identified and the routers that they have identified, a lot of other people use them too. It's not like they are exclusive to North Korea.
Sure.
And so then they must ask, does North Korea have the ability to do what they did? Now, I don't believe that North Korea ever actually took credit for the hack attack, did they? I mean, I know they issued a bunch of threats. You know, if you do this, we're going to blow up some, they issued actual, you know, mayhem type threats. But I don't think they ever actually took credit for the hack attack.
Well, last week when North Korea's internet went down for a day, did you hear the United States claiming credit for the attack?
No.
No, they didn't.
No, but you would think that if North Korea was behind the hack attack, that they might be bragging about it.
You'd think.
Especially if their threat was, you better not show this movie or else.
Or else, right. That's the or else.
So I believe there's a whole lot more to this story than meets the eye, and we will have to keep an eye on it, which then also brings the question up, if it was not North Korea, should we be taking action, quote-unquote, against North Korea?
If it was not?
If North Korea did not commit this hacking attack.
Yeah, we'd be attacking them.
Right.
Could be somebody who wants North Korea quiet.
Yeah, is this one of those, what was that, the Gulf of Tonkin thing?
Uh-huh. Where,
yeah, so you have to wonder. You know, I think your conspiratorial tinglings should be listened to there, Nostradamus.
My BS meter is, I can sniff it out, and I think it's there.
Your spider sense?
All right.
Tingling.
All right, so that story will bear a little more watching, and this story will not go away. And Lara said something the other day, and yesterday at my brother's for Christmas, we discussed it a little bit, the Ferguson grand jury. Lara said something the other day along the lines of maybe it would have been a better idea if the case had gone to trial like the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I kind of dismissed it. But especially after my discussions yesterday with my brother, I think that perhaps that might have been what kept the lid on, at least to a certain extent. We can't, you know, credit anything totally, but certainly all these variables come into play. That might have been one of the reasons that lid was kept on in Sanford. In other words, if the grand jury had come back, the special prosecutor, Corey, had come back and said, no, there's nothing there, perhaps there would have been violence in Sanford. I don't know. But that was when it was going to be most likely to happen, right? Because everybody was all worked up about it. And the community leaders hadn't had a chance to really get together and try to kind of tamp things down. Everything was at a feverish pitch right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if Angela Corey had come back and said, yeah, no, there's nothing here, there may have been violence.
Yeah, there's nothing more suspicious than nothing to see here, folks. Move along, nothing to see.
And to your point, too, Chris, I mean, the whole Trayvon Martin issue could have started a whole series of events that led up to Ferguson.
Well not that also too, but this bring let's go mm-hmm. now to Ferguson. And I hadn't seen this, and but my brother read an article by Antonin Scalia, who is one of mm-hmm. our Supreme Court justices, who wrote about this, and he said he felt that the grand jury did the wrong thing. And he said it's the grand jury's responsibility is actually pretty basic and simple. And in a case like this, where you have a number of eyewitnesses and their testimony is conflicting, basically the decision is made for you. It must go to trial.
Must, not must not?
It must go to trial. When the eyewitness descriptions are conflicting, it must go to trial so that all the evidence can be heard in a court of law.
Because there are witnesses who, when they describe where they were, there was no possible way they could have seen what happened because there was a brick building in between where they were and where the events happened.
Yeah, but to Chris's point, they're saying you can't look at that.
And one of the witnesses was the guy who was with Brown.
Or you have to bring these things out.
Right. And this is what Scalia is saying. He's saying that there's enough conflicting things going on here, aside from the forensics, that it should have gone to trial. and that the prosecutor made a mistake by bringing the police officer in to give an extended testimony in his own behalf. He said that that's the purpose of our grand jury system, is to see that if there is, not to decide the case, but to see if there is a case there. And he said, when there are conflicting testimonies like that, there's a case there.
And there's also prejudice.
Now, that doesn't mean that Darren Wilson would have been found guilty, just right. like George Zimmerman was not found guilty.
But they would have at least brought it to trial. It probably would have been on live TV, parts of it.
And we
would have seen bit by bit as pieces of evidence came out, whoa, that doesn't add up. Hey, this doesn't match. I don't think they have a case. It would have been evident if there were no case.
Just like the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin right. thing.
Even though people to this day still think George Zimmerman is a murderer.
But nonetheless, the evidence was put out there, and a lot of people did have to face it and come to grips with it. And this is all Scalia is saying, is that, you know, with all these different conflicting accounts, it should have been very basic, easy decision for the grand jury, and they should have come to it very, very quickly. Because the accounts, the eyewitness accounts, were basically there from the start and conflicted from the start. All right, let's go now to Sam, who would like to comment about Ferguson. Sam, thank you for calling. And we only have a few seconds, so if you'll hold on through the break, but go ahead and give us the first part of your comment.
Okay, the first part is about Ferguson. People talk about the rise and the damage that he did and the loss of wealth. People don't realize the real loss of wealth was in the value of property. Let's say if you own a house that's worth $200,000.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to cut. Sam, I got to stop you right there simply because of the break. But I must say, there was a fellow right here in this studio who said that the very first day in his opening remarks, and it was Lair Adams. We'll be right back, Sam. Thanks for your call. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are live. No reruns here.
Stay with us, Sam.
AM 660. Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, once again for SoundbiteRx.com, with a little sample of the brand new medicine there just today. How about this one for you, folks? Does Jeb Bush have a Mitt Romney problem? I guess the question could go the other way, too. Does Mitt Romney have a Jeb Bush problem? Because they're both, it looks like they're teeing up to run for the presidency in 2016, and of course, both of them court the same big money donors. Also this, speaking of big money, Gruber Care, that would be, of course, Obamacare, has now exposed a $250 billion government power grab by the federal government. You'll go to soundbiterx.com to find out about that. Also, you remember MoveOn.org? Do you remember why they were started? They were started to help Bill Clinton, you know, when he had his little troubles with Monica and the impeachment trial. MoveOn.org was to move on away from that. Well, now MoveOn.org wants to move away from the Clintons and back Elizabeth Warren. Oh, how those friendships in Washington are never lasting. Also this, corruption still being discovered at the VA. Just goes to show, one new man at the top can't solve all the problems at the bottom. All right, folks, that's just a sample of the new stuff at SoundbyRx.com. Please go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. There's old Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the man we treat with a great deal of respect when he comes around.
You kind of got it, don't you?
Yeah, you know, he talks in there about meeting up with Andre the Giant. Can you imagine being a 375-pound man and you get into the ring with a guy that's 500 and some odd pounds? I thought I was big.
I saw him on TV the other day, The Princess Bride. They were playing it.
Yes.
What a great film.
Yeah, he was a great guy, too. All right, welcome back to the show. That was Nostradamus and Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is our number. And it is Friday, so don't forget, it's Firm Foundation Friday. If you would like to lower your homeowner's insurance, whether you own properties that you rent or your own house, whether you have mortgages on them or not, you may be, you're probably paying too much for your homeowner's insurance. And one way to find out is to call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. And Aubrey will come out. He'll do a wind mitigation inspection for you. And chances are, high chances are, he will save you a lot of money.
You're just throwing that money away with the insurance company.
And he can look at your policy and tell if you're getting the wind mitigation discount now, so that you'll know ahead of time whether you need the inspection or not. 321-624-0254, Aubrey Kahn. I want to go back to Sam now, and just to follow up what you were talking about with your first point, Sam, we'll get to your second one, about the declining value of property in Ferguson. It is already being documented in the business community, and the presumption is that it will extend into the housing community as people look to leave that area.
And I mean, they have to change the name of the town.
Yeah, unfortunately, that might be the
to Little Detroit
only remedy. But and by the way, folks, both black and white people, they presume, will be leaving that community. So nobody wants to live around that type of violence. And it wasn't the police shooting; it was the rioting, and that's the point that you were making, wasn't it, Sam?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and these are minority business owners.
Yeah, the vast majority.
A lot of them.
Vast majority. All right, Sam, and you wanted to make another point.
Right, regarding Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
If you study history, Al Capone, they call him the untouchable because they were finally able to get him because of tax evasion.
Yes.
And the amount was about $200,000.
It wasn't extremely a lot, yeah.
Right.
No. Now, Al Sharpton is $4.5 million in the hole, and yet nobody can touch him. I just want to know why.
Right, and by in the hole, you mean he owes the government, the IRS,
yes,
that money.
Yeah.
$4.5 million.
Yeah. Well, first, if he didn't commit fraud, in other words, if he somehow got this tax bill because of bad, you know, accountant advice or something like that, it wouldn't be punishable by prison. But if he committed fraud to try to hide this like Al Capone did, he certainly would be eligible for jail. Nonetheless, he should be getting the Willie Nelson treatment about now, and that is either pay up or we're going to come take your house. But,
right,
you know, when it comes to Al Sharpton, I'm not so sure that on paper the guy owns anything. You know what I'm saying? He probably on paper doesn't even own the suit on his back. But it's all given to him.
Are you aware that he never attended any theological school or pastored any church?
Yeah, well, we've questioned on this show a number of times. Reverend of what? Reverend of hate? Where did you get your, you know, do your ecumenical studies or whatever? So, you know, you're absolutely right about that. The guy is a fraud and he is a tax cheat. And but the only reason the IRS isn't going after him is because he's not a part of a conservative organization.
Imagine someone running a Tea Party 401c3.
And he has his buddy in the White House that he goes to see
65 times in a year.
Yeah, friends in high places, you know, the old saying there, Sam.
Yeah.
Well, but nonetheless, he can't escape, you know, from reality, and eventually it will come, I believe, to bite him. But the problem with guys like Al Sharpton is he has so many people out there that he has cowed into giving him things. If push came to shove, somebody would pony up the $4 million bucks for him.
Now, Chris, let me ask you this: does the president have the power to commute debt? I mean, like, I know you can commute a sentence, but if he ends up owing the IRS, I just wonder if he has the power of saying, "No, no, that penalty is wrong."
He doesn't, but the IRS could.
Oh, so they could just say, "Oh, our bad."
It's sort of. All right. Thank you, Sam. We appreciate you being out there, and certainly we hope you enlist in the American Adversaries Army. That's the kind of troops that we need, people who are informed, people who are willing to get out and get the word out. And that's why we want you folks to join.
And who questioned?
Yeah, I just checked on this because I know about Reverend Al Sharpton. My dad worked as a New York City police officer for years in the 70s and 80s. He has a doctorate of divinity degree from Bethune-Cookman College. It was an honorary degree given in 2011. He has no degree in theology.
And he's been calling himself Reverend Sharpton for a lot longer since 3 years
since
ago.
Since Tawana Brawley.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's an absolute fraud. And here's the thing, though. All these people who have glommed onto his fraud, they are tainted with it now.
Right.
You know, they'll never be able to get rid of that stink, if you will.
And if something bad happens to Reverend Al, you know, as in being arrested or being forced to pay back those millions of dollars, that pulls them in with them.
Or just finally being seen to be the fraud that he is. And one thing that it's going to take, however, amongst at least, I believe, the black community, is some real leadership out of the black community. We often wonder, how can it be that guys like Jess Jackson and Al Not-So-Sharpton can be viewed as leaders amongst the black community these days?
When they're shysters.
It is only because there aren't any real leaders out there. We need the real leaders really bad. Guys of integrity, guys of experience, guys of knowledge and analytical
thought.
Like
Ben Carson.
Like Carl Jackson. There's a number of them out there. And there's a lot of smart people who would be much better leaders of any community than Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. All right, Nostradamus, you had a little something there from back from the Sony hack attack.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories we've been working on. If you want to look at Facebook, go to American Adversaries page on Facebook. Just search it out. You'll see the links to several stories that we put up today. The first of them.
Real quick. This is what we're going to be doing every day, folks, with Nostradamus. As he researches stories, as he digs up stories, he'll be putting them on Facebook. So whether we talk about it on the show or not, there will be stuff on Facebook that won't be on the show virtually every day.
Right.
So you'll have a reason to go to Facebook every day, and we want you to do that. And please give us the like when you are so inclined, and invite others, your friends, to go visit us on Facebook.
Some of them are serious. Some of them are funny. They all are worth taking a look at and at least clicking.
And some of them will be things that we can't put on the air.
Right, that's right. Like one of the other stories I've got.
All right. So
anyway, my wife and I and one of our daughters went to see the Night at the Museum movie for Christmas, but it was sold out. We ended up seeing Black Annie. I know it's called Annie, but Jamie Foxx plays the Daddy Warbucks character, and a cute little girl plays the Annie character, yeah, who has a great line in the movie, by the way. Someone asks her what kind of music she likes, and she says, "I like talk radio. It's soothing."
She must listen to the American Adversaries.
I got to get that clip. Anyway, I mentioned that as a segue to this, yeah, because among the Sony emails leaked in this hack was one that says executives at Sony are suggesting Idris Elba as the next James Bond.
Now, wait a minute. Idris Elba?
Idris Elba. Idris Elba is a black actor.
Okay. All right.
The big guy down the dial had a take on that and said, "This is preposterous, ladies and gentlemen. James Bond was invented, created by Ian Fleming, a former spy, M16. It's a total concept put together by Ian Fleming. He was white and Scottish, period. We've had 50 years of white Bonds because Bond is white. Bond was never black. Ian Fleming never created a black Brit to play James Bond. The character was always white. He was always Scottish. He always drank vodka, shaken, not stirred, and all that.
Martini,
vodka. Formerly nicotine-stained hands.
Vodka martini, yeah. By the way, that's not M16, it's MI6.
MI6.
Yeah.
That's right.
I believe it stands for military intelligence. But
I have one thing to add to that. Wild, Wild West.
Yeah.
Well, you see, how did that work for that movie?
There are movies that have been redone with a black cast. The Wizard of Oz turned into The Wiz. Awful movie. Some cute songs out of it. Ease, yeah, on Down the Road was a really catchy tune.
Right.
But there are movies that don't need to be made just to make them black.
You don't want to talk about political correctness. If they're going to have a black character in a spy movie, that's one thing. But to name him James Bond, where the character's already been developed over decades,
right?
It's sort of a real stretch, to say the least.
Now, the comic books do that sometimes. The Green Lantern, in a reincarnation in a new universe, ended up being black for a whole series of comic books.
I thought he was gay.
That's the comic books. Well,
yeah, he was.
There was another Green Lantern
star
in another universe.
Yeah, and that one is a gay Green Lantern,
gay,
yes.
Gay Green Lantern, the black gay Green Lantern. It just, there's too many universes.
What was the Merlin show on TV where Guinevere was a black girl? Now, Guinevere,
right,
was known to be a fair-skinned redhead.
Right.
And, oh, no, we'll.
But the Guinevere in that series, she was a cute young lady. I like her. She ended up being queen.
So,
an interracial queen in England in the 16th century.
But I believe they have announced the actor, and he's a white guy, isn't it?
For the new
Bond movie.
I don't
they're
know.
This guy.
I think
no, well, that was part of the hack attack where they were speculating about
it. I don't know about the new actor. I haven't heard the story.
I thought they had named the new actors.
Okay, well, at any rate, these are the kind of things that executives kick around just to see if we focus group them. We'll see if they stick, and if they stick, we'll do them.
They probably thought if they had a black actor playing Bond, that at least then Obama would see the movie. That's not me talking. That's the Sony executives talking now, right?
Puts the BO in Bond, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just personally, I don't see Denzel Washington ever playing Buddha.
Probably
you know,
not.
I mean, yeah. You can stretch this as much as you want.
Yeah, probably not.
Can you see Chris Rock playing Blofeld?
No, definitely not.
Not talking aristocratically.
No.
Hey, come on, man. What'd you do?
Yeah. All right. What else you got there, Nostradamus?
Right, another one. Seth Rogen surprised an L.A. audience who wanted to see that movie, The Interview, on the big screen in an L.A. area movie theater.
He's one of the big stars.
He is. Yeah. He and James Franco. And
terrible
he showed
actor.
Up yeah. at a theater at the 12:35 a.m. Christmas morning showing.
In Los Angeles?
In L.A.
Yeah.
And he and his co-writer and co-director surprised the crowd by coming out. They also surprised them by saying, "Thank you so blanking much for coming. We thought this might not happen at all. It's super blanking exciting. So we really want to say thank you. If it wasn't for theaters like this and people like you guys, this would literally not be blanking happening right now. So thank you." You can fill in the blanks.
What does this guy think? He's in jail or a movie theater? I mean, talking like that.
He's an idiot. He's a movie star, Chris. He's a young, popular movie star.
I guess that's what it is.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, all right, we just have a minute before the break. We'll go ahead and take the break. When we come back, Nostradamus has a couple more stories. And we'd love to take your call. If you're like Tim or Sam and you'd like to be on the show today, give us a call at 407-774-8255. And just a quick programming note, we will be here New Year's Eve. We will be off, of course, New Year's Day. And we will be back once again live next Friday at 5.
Just like this week.
That's right. We don't do the rerun shows, folks. We give it to you live, fresh, every day.
Reruns are boring. We are lots of things. We've been accused of being lots of things. Boring has never been one of them. That's why you stick with us on your drive home. The American Adversary. Drive time.
And we will be coming right back after this next short message. Like Chris said, if you'd like to give us a call and wish us a Merry Christmas, we did that for you day before yesterday. We'll be right back.
How about Happy New Year?
Separated.
That's right, folks. You got the American Adversaries, where we keep them separated. We keep the facts separated from the lies, the truth from the fiction, and the truth tellers from the liars. 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget, we will be here Sunday night live at 5. Please join us for our 3-hour tour. And Sunday night, we're going to start playing the Year in Review by Johnny Guns.
Have you heard it?
No, but I'm looking forward to it.
I have the MP3 of it. He sent it to me. I didn't listen to the finished product because I want to hear it on the air. I heard him making it. There's a lot of cool music and a lot of great sound bites in it.
That's right. So we'll play it first on Sunday night, and then we'll play it next week as well. But that's no excuse to miss us on Sunday night. But if ever you do, don't worry. You can go to our website, our brand new website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and find the archive there. And all of our old archive shows are now in our new website, thanks to Nick LoCicero. And we appreciate you going there and checking those things out. Also, real quickly, we will be off New Year's Day. We'll be here New Year's Eve. We'll be back on the 2nd. But on New Year's Eve, after the show, going to go home, get cleaned up, and then I'm heading to Cafe Positano. And I hope you folks will come up there and join us for New Year's Eve celebration with Pasquale. And there's going to be a 4-piece live band. Actually, it may be 6 pieces that night, but at least 4. And fireworks at midnight, champagne at midnight. It'll be a lot of fun. So please come on out and join us New Year's Eve at Cafe Positano. And if you want to make a reservation, you better do it now. 407-774-8080 for Cafe Positano.
No cover.
That's right. That's exactly right. 407-774-8080.
And they still have a little bit of those boxes of cookies, those Italian cookies from
they
the bakery
sell tons
in
of those.
Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they didn't sell them all over the Christmas Eve. So please do put that on your schedule and join us. By the way, real quickly, tonight UCF is playing in the Bit Coin Bowl against NC State at 8 o'clock on ESPN. That's over in St. Petersburg. Are they going to play that at the Trop?
I'm not sure. I don't know where the venue is. That's the biggest arena in St. Pete. I know in Tampa they call it the Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
So I would think at St. Pete it might be inside the Trop.
If they kick the ball high enough, it might bounce off the doggone.
Playing the NC State Wolfpack. So
that's
go
right.
Knights, slay the wolf.
Go Knights.
Would you call
right.
it the Bitcoin Bowl?
Yeah, that's Bitcoin. Yeah, we talked about Bitcoin a while back. That's the virtual currency.
It'll be a virtual game.
Anybody can sponsor a bowl now. It'll be a Play-Doh bowl, the Tidy Man.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day with Mike McBath. He said pretty soon there's going to be the Bithlow Bowl or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Play it out there at the racetrack. Nostradamus, what else you got for us?
Okay, hey, would you like to be a driver in a presidential motorcade?
Oh, yes, I would.
Well, it's possible.
Here you go. Where's this guy taking us?
Natalie Tyson is a 24-year-old graduate student in Bay Area, San Francisco. Her name is Natalie Tyson.
Oh, I thought you said Cicely Tyson.
No, Natalie. Right. And she recently drove a van in President Obama's motorcade this fall. A friend who works at the White House texted her to ask if she was interested. Now, she's not driving the vehicle with the president in it. She's also not driving the Secret Service. But volunteers with no special training are a link in the middle of the fastest and highest profile chain of vehicles in the country. They're cheaper than Secret Service or local police, and their cargo of lowly staff members and reporters is apparently less precious. So the reporters can go with the girl who's never driven a van before, driving a 15-person van around the streets of San Francisco.
Mm.
I don't know how they do this, but apparently it's an honor for these people to be picked. All you have to have is a clean driving record, and of course the Secret Service vets you to make sure you don't have any threats against
you. You don't have to have a chauffeur's license?
I would love.
Well, yeah, you just need your regular driver's license.
Well.
I would love to be able to drive the media around.
Well, you drive them
where
crazy.
Are you going? Where are you, what are you taking us this way for?
As it is, you drive them nuts. And you always turn right.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. All right, good.
And last, did you hear who is leaving the White House?
No.
Sam Cass. He has been a fixture at the Executive Mansion. He has been serving up nutrition policy as well as meals for the president, his wife, and their daughters. He is the White House chef. And every 6 years, he is going to be leaving. His wife, by the way, is an MSNBC host, Alex Wagner. That's no conflict of interest right there.
No.
But Cass was asked, since he found out he was going to be moving on, he decided to leave, by the way. He was asked by the media, what does the first family like to eat? He said, well, that's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know.
Well, we're just going to have to find out. I can see in that a top 10 list of entrees.
I'm sure it's just all tofu and all tasteless.
I can see in that a top 10 list for Sunday night.
There's the menu. And then there's what Barack calls in at 2 a.m. saying, oh, Michelle awake, Sam? Yeah, here's what I want you to cook me.
How about some pork chops?
Me and Reggie were playing spades upstairs, and we'd use a big tray of messy old wings, all right?
I could see that a top 10 list for Sunday night. But, you know, normally these folks who have these staff positions at the White House stay a long time.
They
if I'm not mistaken, the chef that he replaced was there quite a while.
Several administrations, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that movie, The Butler. The Butler was a butler for, what, half a dozen presidents.
Yeah.
Those non-political jobs usually end up bridging over terms and over administration sometimes.
I wonder if he's got a reality TV show or something like that.
I don't know, but apparently he's a personal friend of the family. He has gone golfing with the president on some of his trips. Sometimes he travels with them. So, interesting.
All right. So, like Nostradamus said, folks, Facebook, American Adversaries, and you will find those stories and more every day at our Facebook page. And please do take advantage of enlisting in the American Adversaries Army. It's only $5 a month. You'll get a newsletter. The first one's coming out on January 10th. It's going to feature bios of all of us guys, and I don't mean just Nostradamus, Lair, and myself, but I mean also Mike McBath, Danny McKnight, John Casey, the whole gang. So we hope that you will enlist and be a part of the American Adversaries Army. And to sweeten the pot a little bit, too, every month for each of our enlistees, you will receive a brand new 20% off Cafe Positano coupon that you can use. Right there, folks, is the $5 a month if you just go to Cafe Positano once. Yeah. And get yourself a pizza and a couple of drinks or something. AmericanAdversariesRadio.com is the location. It's real easy. When you go there, you'll see basically two ways to go. You can go to the recruiting office or you can go to the homepage. And if you go to the homepage and you're a business, a church, or any kind of charitable or otherwise organization, and you would like to be a part of our directory, please sign up. It's free to have a basic listing in our directory. And if you want to upgrade, that you'll be able to see the packages there as well. So please take advantage of that.
Yeah, free plug for tomorrow morning in case you get sick of the day that we're not on the air with the American Adversaries. The Carl Jackson Show returns tomorrow without Carl Jackson or his right-hand man, Mickey Alvarez.
Well, then why in the world would anybody want to listen to it?
Because it's the Sultan Nostra Show.
Oh.
Sultan Ramza is hosting, and Nostra Dennis, me,
you,
is going to be co-hosting. So we're going to be talking about those battling holiday displays at the state capitol. We're also going to be talking about the changing relationship with Cuba and the U.S. and the U.S. and communist China. So you better stay tuned and call in.
That's tomorrow morning live at 8 o'clock right here on AM 660, The Answer, the Carl Jackson Show, every Saturday morning live at 8 o'clock. And I'll look forward to that. You know, I love Sultan's voice.
Oh, yeah. He has a voice for radio.
He absolutely
does. I have a
does.
Face for radio.
As do I. All right. That's going to do it for tonight,
And you
folks.
Have a head for shining. Oh, sorry.
All right. Don't forget, Sunday live at 5, Monday live at 5. We'll be off New Year's Day, but we'll be here New Year's Eve and the 2nd of January. Please be with us.
Did you say 8 o'clock tomorrow, Nostra Dennis?
8 a.m. Be there.
On Carl Jackson Show. Folks, that's going to do it. Hope your Christmas was awesome. We'll see you Sunday.
Yep. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.